Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Jigsaw Jazz and the Get Fresh Low, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Goals galore in what was a super Sunday in the Prem. It's Monday, 4th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Duddleston.
And I'm Vidusha Hantharaja.
All right, everybody. It's Monday. We're back again after a quite incredible weekend, Pete Donaldson.
It went so quickly. I had a Christmas lights turning on. I had to go back to the DIY shop to buy more Christmas lights to get them up all on the tray outside the house.
I told him the other day he didn't buy enough.
I didn't buy enough. I bought 50 meters worth. But very dense, 2,000 lights over 50 metres. That's enough, but it's not enough.
In that vast palace of yours.
I know, it was not in my house, it was outside, it was in the tree outside.
Don't let everyone not hear about the beef Wellington as well.
I made a beef Wellington as well.
You said that had a lot of blood in it.
There's a lot of blood in it. It was medium rare, but more rare than medium rare, but yes. I think that's the skill.
Rip its horns off and wipe its arse.
Potatoes are not meant to be medium rare. presumably you were the guest of honour to turn the lights on in your local town.
No, that's the first time we moved in. The first Christmas, me and Sarah got to turn on the lights in the street.
Wow. Love it.
Not in the town. In our street.
Because
four
of your,
houses.
Because
five
of,
houses.
Hold
still.
On. Oh, hold on. Did you have that or not? Because you were the one who blew the fuse.
Yeah. Also,
you plugged in your computers for the first time.
You actually turned on the Christmas lights at Holloway Row when Alex Zane got pissed and didn't turn up.
I did, yeah. I think you've editorialised. I think he was in America at the time. But,
he was announced to be there.
He was announced to be there.
I'm only getting
up.
This information from you.
The point stands is that whatever the reason is, and Luke did.
Well, I mean, that's besmirching the good man's name.
He was in America because he was held back from boarding a plane.
the crux of the point isn't anything to do with Alex, who I like.
Yeah.
It's the man who does like a drink. That's absolutely clear.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So do the three guys I'm looking at.
The crux of the point is that people are disappointed when they see you. They're like,
yeah,
they're squinting, going, he doesn't look the same as he does on the telly.
You might be a squint as Alex Zane, actually, or just like a generic E4 presenter.
There's plenty of people that Pete looks
like. Goebbels.
That's him saying.
And that's me saying that.
Yeah.
Although you normally used to go for the top dog, didn't you?
Yeah. He's the only bloke who looks like all the top dogs in the Third Reich at once.
All of them.
That's his look.
You see, I can't go to South America.
No.
They'd be like, get him, no more of this.
You can't go there through the you know, the previous routes.
No.
Anyway, sorry about that, everybody.
Sorry about that, everyone. I'm not that sorry.
It's Advent. No.
It's Advent. It's crying out loud.
And the Premier League.
Would you like us to turn on your Christmas lights? Email us.
Look, the Premier League's giving us a lot of cheer. Yeah. And so let's move away from any Third Reich chat and let's talk about something happy, shall we? Luke Moore, your highlight of the weekend.
Oh, I've got to follow that, have I? Yeah. All I want to do is talk about Erik ten Hag's flat cap.
Go on.
And it feels a little bit superfluous now after this chat.
Is that what Anthony Martial was annoyed at?
It's possible. Anthony Martial's annoyed at a lot all the time, isn't he?
He says, you're a bald man. Don't hide it under a bushel or a flat cap.
Anthony Martial's stuck in this kind of holding pattern where he goes months and months without playing and everyone slags him off.
Yeah.
And then when he does play, everyone slags him off even more.
Anthony Martial's Manchester United career is quite extraordinary, really. How old do you think Anthony Martial is?
About 48.
27.
Yeah.
27.
He's probably... Do you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
That'll be the most damning indictment in Man United history.
Go on.
At some point, it'll creep up on us and we won't ever realise he'll become United's leading appearance maker.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, yeah.
Across 22 years of a career.
It's just, incredible. Okay, so you've gone for Ten Hag.
My highlight is Erik Ten Hag's flat cap, because there's a couple of reasons possible for it.
Mm. Right.
And I'll give you the kind of theories about why it happened.
Jamie Redknapp on your call. I just think they've tainted him.
That's possible. Mm. Joe Cole, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's either that, it's a football equivalent of the political dead cat.
Right.
I'll chuck a flat cap on, people won't remember anything else.
Yeah.
Or he's watched one episode of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I think he looks quite good.
What, you thinking that he knows Mad Dog Tindall's on the sideline?
Yeah.
I'm going to need something a little bit more underhand.
Yeah.
They always got
imagine if it had a razor blade in there, he just slapped Jason Tindall in the face.
What I loved about that footage you saw of a certain angle of the camera where Ten Hag's arguing with Martial, and then it kind of is a close up of Ten Hag, and just for a frame, Tindall suddenly appears in the background, and it's just like, oh, he's
like Michael Bublé and Velociraptors, or like with David Brent when they're interviewing his blind date at the Christmas party, he just appears in the background for like a second. It's like that,
just like that. Yeah. Peter, your highlight of the weekend?
I think the O'Reilly goal for Celtic. Did you see that one?
Yes,
a back heel was involved, an absolute launch from about 30 yards as well.
There's a lot just of had good everything. Goals this weekend.
Cracking goals. I also saw two horses have a big fight as well when I was driving on from football.
So we should tell people about it very, very briefly, Marcus, if I may.
Yeah. We've got a lot of good football to get through.
I know,
gentlemen.
But we'll just be very, very quickly. Was there a football involved? Were they fighting over a football?
No, I was driving home from 11 aside.
Yeah, we were in the WhatsApp group. It was like a 5-second video clearly filmed by a man who was driving his car and therefore shouldn't have been filming at the same time.
It was a very quiet country road, I hear, and I had the manner and speed of a man curb crawling.
What I loved about it...
Did you think they were centaurs?
Looking for a stud. Yeah.
What I like about it is that you've driven along, you've seen these horses fighting.
Absolutely scrap-allery.
Yeah, but you've slowed down and you filmed them and you've thought, this can't wait till I get home. I've got to say everyone about this now.
Yeah.
And the message itself was like, just broke up a horse fight. Like, it was the most I'm driving a car while typing a message I've ever seen.
The horses were really, like, they were like rearing up on each other. They were like sort of hug. You know when you embrace someone on two legs?
Clinching.
That's the only way we embrace people because we've only got two legs. But like, they were like just fucking scrapping and bashing their heads together. But they were really tall because horses are really long, and their long head and the end of their head is really long. And it was just absolutely spectacular.
Did Barry Rogerson
break him up?
The famous Newcastle horse punter.
Yeah. I like that when he was telling that story, you looked up his name so you couldn't get it wrong.
Well, I just remember Pete WhatsApping us a picture of him now where he looks like he's strangling a dog.
He's not learned.
Maybe the horses were like actually going at each other. And then, like, you know, a third participant has entered the fight and it's a Newcastle fan. They just sense that.
I loved it when David Attenborough said, and the horses are very long, of course, and their heads are long. And the bit at the end of their
head is the heads is very long as well.
Yeah, okay, so horses fighting. Yeah, Vish, your highlight of the weekend?
Mine is a very, very simple, Haaland plays a three ball through, referee pulls it back as Grealish is running through, and everyone's going mad, and somehow piercing through all the noise is Gary Neville's, oh no.
He does it all the time.
Yeah, but I quite like it because I think he uses the oh no exactly the right time.
Yeah. My highlight of the weekend, gentlemen, was Levi Colwill's celebration for Chelsea.
Good. Good one.
Scored his goal, went, yeah! And then went, no, I'm in front of the Brighton fans and I did go right. on loan there. So, sorry. It's just like, you're a liar. You're a bloody liar. The initial, the first reaction was what you what
that
you,
was
what
genuine.
You think. Yeah, whereas old Sanchez and go, he didn't have any bother. After the game, he's like, yeah!
You know, there are stories about undercover agents who end up giving themselves away because they end up getting married and then having a kid, and during childbirth, they go to their mother tongue.
Is that right?
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like. He looked the other way on the street when crossing. Traffic don't come from that way.
He did it. He ate his meat without cutting it and putting his fork in the other hand. Like
exactly. There we are.
He held up three the wrong way.
That's it. Gentlemen, let's go to Manchester City 3, Tottenham Hotspur 3. What a match.
Brilliant
what
game.
What a match.
Good to see Son Heung-min back on the...
yes. Well, he was among the goals very early on. We nearly got through this game where we could just talk about the football. But we can't even blame VAR. Referee Simon Hooper, of course, didn't play the advantage when Haaland played Jack Grealish in, which you've just described, Vish. And the game was therefore drawn. Grealish clearly threw on. Go on, no, there was a defender coming back, but come on, I think Grealish would have got away from him. That's not the point. The point is that old Hoop blew up.
Hoopo, good process.
Vish, what did you make of that?
Quite enjoyed it. Hoops, there it is.
Or as your friend's uncle would say,
whoops.
Yeah, very strange, especially because it felt like he made quite a brave decision in letting it play out for that moment where he did let it play out. Like Haaland gets to his feet, playing like a man possessed, by the way.
Yep.
Because you know, after
he missed
that open goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should say it's not good to be possessed.
No.
Depends on who by, I suppose.
That is a good point. I was trying to think of...
Well, if Pete was possessed by George Clooney, that would be good.
Team Wolf?
I would think I was a sexist George Clooney.
No, if you had the chat and the kind of personal... Basically, if you had a different personality...
Right, okay, yeah, that would be good.
It might be good.
You'd get fewer chat about horses fighting, so...
Hopefully.
Yeah. More Nespresso pods, all right?
Yeah. I stand corrected.
Teen Wolf, is that technically a possession?
I guess it's your follicles
the lichen spirit?
Teen horse.
Maybe.
Different movie.
I actually thought, a really smart decision to let play on, let it play on, gets his fleet, plays a very good through ball. I agree with you actually that Grealish was good. I mean
it's kind of not the point.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But then once it's blown, like it's done, isn't it? Like that's it. And as annoying it is to talk about, don't let it happen again. It probably won't happen again.
Well, no,
very rare occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, do you think there's a conspiracy theory here, Pete Donaldson?
I just think it's nice to see. I think Grealish heard the criticism that we gave him last week, and he's just clearly working a bit harder to
concern,
to perform.
It's particularly frustrating from his point of view because he started three games this season in the Premier League. Yep. He's not had a great start. Mm. Obviously, there's a tournament in the summer. He wants to be part of England's plans. He scores anyway, and you could see how much he loves scoring. Of course, he's always going to love scoring, but he seemed to be particularly happy about that. If he had managed to get into a position to score the winner, that's a massive story.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had that denied. But what's interesting, I think, is I looked up the IFAB literature around the advantage law, and there's four things the referee is supposed to take into account. And I just thought this was fascinating. So the first one is the severity of the offence. So if it's a really bad one, there's going to be a red card, whatever.
If he chins Haaland, there's no advantage.
The second one is the position.
There all day with that chin.
The position where the offence was committed. The third one is the chances of an immediate promising attack, which is it was. Yeah. But the fourth one, and this has come from nowhere, this is from the IFAB website.
Does Jack Grealish receive the ball?
The referee should take into account the atmosphere of the match.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Which can basically be interpreted however you want.
I think they should
get rid of that.
Yeah,
quickly.
I do as well.
Is this their Wikipedia page and someone's edited it?
No, it's ifab.com/laws.
General vibes.
It's vibes.
Is that
vibes,
to protect the Old Trafford tradition in the Premier League?
It just makes the referee able to do whatever he wants, basically.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, I wasn't sure about the atmosphere, I thought I'd just kill it.
It might as well just say X Factor or something. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit of a get-out-of-jail-free card, isn't it?
Well, does it please me?
And just to finish off that, when asked about the decision, Pep said, next question, I will not do a Mikel Arteta comment.
Ooh, they're pals, aren't they? They're big pals.
Are they still?
Oh, is there a problem in paradise?
I think they're pals. I think that's just a clear example of him trying to little brother him.
Yes.
He's definitely player correct. B him. Yeah. There's player two in him there.
I think he's clipping it and giving it, sending it on the WhatsApp. Ha ha. Look what I said. Ha ha.
Yeah. Well, do you think Haaland?
Imagine I bought in that WhatsApp group of B.
could old Erling get in trouble retweeting a video of the incident saying WTF?
I would think he should get in trouble for pretending that he's in a fucking episode of Clueless. What are you doing? WTF? Who says that?
Is that all right? You won't get in trouble for that, will you? People do that all the time.
I mean, I think the shouting at the referee will get them in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, either or. There's something in
you
there.
You shouldn't have touched his car.
You shouldn't have done. Well, interesting. Well, Spurs stopped the rot, of course. I think it what was the stat? It would have been the first time since, I think, 2004. Or certainly back then, where the Spurs would have lost four league games in a row. Mm. Which is quite a remarkable stat, really.
Given the start they've had.
Given the start they've had and all the rest of it. But they got the draw. And, you know, Ange Postecoglou said they rode their luck, which they did. Luke, I think we can agree on
that.
But they stuck to their task and they got a draw.
And what's interesting is that, like, those the last handful of games with Spurs, they've gone ahead in all those games, I think. Mm. And they've still managed to lose three of them and now obviously draw one. Look, it's no disgrace to not win a game at Man City, but Spurs' record at that place is pretty good.
Man City versus Spurs is always a recent classic.
Yeah, it's always a great game. City should have been probably 4-1 up by half time.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's a different game, but they weren't. And so we were talking about the game that happened and not the game that could have happened. I think that it's a really interesting situation because, you know, I felt like there was a bit of a... not all, but a little bit of an undercurrent from some Spurs fans about how we need to be a bit more sensible here. We need to put players behind the ball, which made me think, what do you actually fucking want?
Yeah, right.
Because you spent however many years complaining about the shit on the stick stuff that Conte and Mourinho brought and how the Spurs have got a certain way of playing. And now that you've got a manager who wants to do that. I understand this is the toughest game in the league on paper all season. I understand they've got so many players out for injury, but he's never going to do any different to this. Mm. And what you're going to get as a result is a really exciting time.
Might I say, though, that I don't know how many Spurs fans have said that, and I understand you've not said everybody.
No, not all.
But look at the way they responded after they lost to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. They were applauded off. You know, so I think the most fans, I'm guessing on the basis of that, the most Spurs fans don't think that. But, I mean, I love the way that Postecoglou is approaching this. I loved his high line against Chelsea. I mean, people were critical. I thought it was great. And they were, you know, on another day, they might have got a draw there.
Give him the manager of the season award now, because it's just like from the Premier League's perspective, that's share price stuff. You know what I mean? That's
you're always
people
thinking
are
about
getting dividends increased because of that man's performance on the field. Like,
can I just come back on the Chelsea point? The fans at the Chelsea game, because you're right to say that, but I do think this is different. And the reason I think this is different is because that was the first defeat they'd had all season.
Yeah.
They had two players sent off.
Yes.
They played in a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there was some fear they were going to go four games in a row losing, and people were starting to go, okay, that's a bit different. That's 3 or 4 weeks down the line on without winning the game.
Yeah.
So it's a different situation.
I thought they did ride their luck. We can't say that. Man City were very, very good going forward. Just, you know, not that good at putting their chances away, which is very strange, you know, especially with Haaland with some of those ones. But the fact is, I just love the way that Spurs kept trying to play out the back, you know, riding their luck. And that is the way they're going to do it. And so... it's not going to be boring, and I think a lot of those Spurs fans they remember last season and just think we'll take that.
Did you see when Gary Network for the first time after about 75 minutes, Vicario waved his defenders back and kicked it long. Gary Network went, oh, thank God for that. He's actually taken a long cold kick. But we should also say though that although they had their first choice fullbacks, they obviously had like a real threadbare centre back pairing against the greatest striker in the world, and a really busy and underrated second striker in Julian Alvarez as well.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit of a mismatch on paper, some of these players, some of these matchups.
Mm.
So for them to come out of there with a draw, to never kind of feel that they were defeated, to never give up and to, you know, dig in there and get that goal.
And they scored three goals.
Exactly. And that third goal from Kudryavtsev was absolute fucking dinner money stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was great to see. He bullied him. He left him on the floor.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't a great header, but it was brilliant forward play to do that.
But it was also the way they shifted the ball one side and everyone went over there. And if you're going to leave one-on-one with a defender and you're attacking the ball, you've always got a chance.
I think the thing I really enjoyed about that game, a small part of it tactically, was the way they played against Kyle Walker.
Mm.
Now, I think a lot of the chat around Spurs has been about really focusing on what they do and pressing and energy and things like this. But there are a few moments where, for example, Brennan Johnson would get the ball on the left and basically take Kyle Walker out to the to the byline.
Yeah.
And someone would underlap. There'd always be someone underlapping because they always move. And I remember thinking the first time, I was like, oh, that's quite an interesting way of getting around Kyle Walker, because he's such a problem. And if he's always chasing back. But if he's running back and he's already got someone he wants to keep tabs on, it's a little bit different. Mm. They did it a few times and they ended up working quite well for the equaliser. But I just thought everything about Spurs in the second half in particular was just that little bit smart. And I think we know that there is obviously a lot of intelligence there because we've seen it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bringing on Højbjerg at halftime just to solidify everything up, having the benefit of getting something from Brian Gill in that first half, because the way he turns on the edge of his box that eventually sets up the Sun goal was really smart. A bit more, you know, you need a bit of craft even in that really dangerous area. And I did fear a little bit when Basuma's dawdling on the ball and loses it there. And the way that Grealish, what I thought was the winner, the way that Grealish goal comes about, you're like, God, that's a kick in the gut there. You must be winded from that.
And he won. You thought it was going to be the winner.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It felt like a winner at the time.
Basuma's been good as well this season. That was an unfortunate one.
He has, especially when he's just come back as well and to make a mistake like that. But, you know, they got away with it.
How big do you think the Jeremy Doku injury going off was affected, because he looked like he was right in the mood.
I mean, he did that, hit the post and bar.
That was quality.
The thing is with Doku is he's been such a crucial player for a couple of reasons. One, because he's quality.
Yeah.
But the second is, you know, I think one or two of the pundits were saying that Man City look a little bit bored this season. And we've cited those Grealish comments many, many times already this season about, you know, you win the treble, how then do you get up for it? I mean, you know, for a side who are so bored, you know, they are only just 3 points off the top. We're used to them, you know, blasting everybody away, even at this point of the season. But I mean, Arsenal, Liverpool, you know, Villa, Spurs themselves, you know, they're all having really good seasons. So there could be an element of that, but that's why Doku's so important, because he's never won a treble. Yeah. He wasn't there last season. Mm. So he's hungry and he's up for it, and he gives them something that perhaps they don't have elsewhere in the side, just with his skill set. So yes, the injury would be a big blow, but then you see Grealish, who seems to have, you know.
I just think Grealish is such a different type of player.
But the point is that more the desire and so on, and I think Grealish, when he comes on and does that, that will be sort of salve to the wounds of losing Doku.
But even when Grealish came on, I know he scored, but for a while he wasn't that good. He kept losing the ball, and I don't think he's been anywhere near in the form that Doku's
been. Tough game
been
to come in.
It
to,
is,
though.
But what I was talking about was the game specifically. I wonder if. That, you know, there's two big reasons I think Spurs were able to stay in the game. One is that there were three big chances. The Doku one where it hits the post in the bar, the two Haaland misses. That's one reason. The other reason I feel like is that Doku went off and it just affected City's momentum.
Yeah, well, look, Man City now have drawn their last three games. They've scored eight, but they've conceded eight. They're conceding goals.
Exactly what we wanted.
But I mean, look, it took something a bit special. You know, the Lo Celso goal was a lovely one. Son's goal was a great move. But it is interesting. They are looking not as, if you like, prolific at the back as perhaps they have done. I mean, they've conceded more goals than Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle United.
Yeah, Edison wasn't really good either.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean,
he should have done better for that first
massively.
Goal.
Massively.
But defensively, they still are good. You know, let's not be too silly here, because it is only a few games. They've got the best goal difference in the league. I think the plus for Man City is they're scoring goals, and they're scoring goals of high quality. I mean, the Foden goal was just gorgeous football.
Yeah, dance for him, didn't they?
It's absolutely delightful. And something you said earlier there, Luke, which I'm glad you said, as I was going to mention it myself, is that Alvarez is very underrated. He's a lovely player in there, creating, scoring, and so on. I know he's a World Cup winner, you know.
Yeah, but he's perfect. He's perfect for them, because Haaland takes all the sucks and all the gravity, as I said.
And he is that player who just, you know, between the defence, he finds the pockets of space and so on.
What I think is really, to end on a positive note for Spurs, what I think is actually really good for them is they really now, 3 or 4 months into the season, whatever, have a strong identity that the way they play and the way they're going to be known for now and for the foreseeable future is this way of playing, which helps them, which helps inform them on signings, helps them, all the players to know where they are, what they're doing. Postecoglou doesn't seem to be frightened to make big calls as well. Rather than have Dier in the squad entirely, I mean, he's gone with the players that he wants to play, that he thinks suits his system better. I think it's still reason to be a lot more positive for Spurs than it has been in recent years, even after off the back of four games without a win. There's nothing really, I don't think, to worry about.
I think also that this period has shown him more players of value in his squad as well. Giovanni Lo Celso, who was in danger of becoming, you know, the baby in the bathwater, really. I think every time you saw him play in the Premier League, you were like, there's clearly a good player here who's not quite finding his role, but always, always willing and quality on the ball. And the way he slotted in over the last couple of weeks, I think he's been exceptional. I know the results on the field haven't necessarily proved that, but you know, he got a goal last week. He obviously gets a goal here, but that's just a small part of what he's providing everyone. Mm. And lastly, Kulusevski. I've probably never seen a player, but I can't remember a player where you know exactly what his set plays are, mm-hmm. per se, like how he's going to beat a defender. And he does it every single time. You know, shifts onto his favourite foot, then shifts onto his right foot, crosses it. And then when he does that, the next time he'll shift onto his left foot. He almost plays by numbers, but he's so technically proficient, mm-hmm. and ridiculously fit. He's just such an exceptional player for them. And he's been someone who's really helped them carry through, carry through the game specifically yesterday.
Mm. We're all said and done, Spurs haven't won in four. They're still only 6 points off the top.
Exactly, so that's such a strong start. Yeah.
You know, so it shows you, again, that strong start they've had. Man City, of course, are in there as well, funnily enough. Yeah. Gentlemen, let's talk about Liverpool 4, Fulham 3.
Speller on the WhatsApp group. That was a highlight of the weekend.
What happened after Fulham went 3-2 up? What did I say?
You said something about, this is great, but we'll concede 2 in injury time and that'll be the end of that.
And the only surprise was it wasn't in injury time.
Yeah, 87 and 88.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just, when it goes in and you think 80 minutes of them plus injury time, it's like, it's too early.
Too early, yeah.
If I was a Fulham fan, I'd be thinking, you've chosen to score 3 goals from open play at Anfield.
Yeah.
You've wasted 3 of them.
Yeah.
That could do 3-1-0 wins at home this year.
So annoying. So annoying. Could have just walked out there with a 2-0 loss.
Yeah.
You should have taken Chelsea's lead if you amortised those 3 goals.
Over the course of 3 home games against promoted teams.
Yeah, but I mean, if Fulham get the decisions for penalties like they did against Wolves, then we should be okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I totally agree with you. When De Cordova Reed scored, I was like, nah. It's not
what are you doing?
Why bother scoring?
You've awoken the liver bird.
Should have put it wide.
Yeah.
You know. It was a great moment, of course, when Declan Dover Reed.
Some great goals in that game.
Who's been a brilliant player for Fulham and continues to be so. The quality of Liverpool goes. But that shows you, though, that Liverpool needed to produce that to score. I mean, yes, they missed some chances, a bit like with Manchester City. You know, they were.
Who would you say was the player that missed the chances in the most surprising way possible? Well, Darwin Nunez.
Actually, it was the most Salah one, actually.
I forgot about that one. Yeah,
Darwin was being Darwin, wasn't he?
I think the second one that he hit against the bar wasn't too bad, but we do say that a lot. We've sort of gone scant consolation.
I think it didn't go in.
It didn't go in.
If Salah does that, you think, okay, that's a miss, but he's got 450,000 goals this season, so that's fine.
Darwin doesn't have that.
Nunez is very much part of his character arc, isn't it?
Yeah. But then even the way he keeps the ball alive for Alexander-Arnold's winning goal, he does it in such a way they're like, maybe a more conventional player wouldn't have done that.
He wouldn't have
done it like that.
Well, that's it.
He seems to take the scenic route quite a lot.
Yeah. He is the aforementioned X Factor, isn't he?
Yeah.
Trent Alexander-Arnold's summary of the game was, it was mental, to be honest. I have no problem that his free kicks, it was an own goal. I know people are like, it should be. It's an own goal.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still nice to look at.
Mm. Yeah. Look, it was a brilliant free kick, you know, because to hit it that, you know, from there and nearly score is impressive. but it, like, annoyingly, yes, it does go down as an own goal. Mm. There was no doubt about his second one as well. I mean, when Endo bends that one into the top corner, it's the manner of the goal as well. It's a bit of a squirmy one or something. But when he does that and the cop goes wild, you just go,
okay, great, yeah.
I'll take 4-3 now.
I do think this is easier said than done, of course, and maybe I'm being a bit harsh here. But I do feel like it's a little bit disappointing, just as a neutral, for them to concede that Endo goal and then concede a minute later.
Of course, it's disappointing.
No, but you know what I mean? Do you think it's almost a bit inexcusable? Because it should give you a short, sharp shock. It's almost a bit like being dunked in freezing cold water. Right, now get your shape back.
Yeah.
Let's see this out for a couple of minutes at least. You know, whatever. It was almost a bit like, I know what you were saying because you're a fan of the club and we, as football fans, we kind of understand how it works. That shouldn't apply to the players. The players should have the presence of mind to go, right, we can hold on here.
Yes.
And it didn't really do that.
Sure. You have to remember that Liverpool are a lot better.
They're a brilliant team, of course.
Was this
down to Leno's hat?
Could be.
His little dot he's got.
No, I can't criticise Leno. He's been brilliant.
Put the ball in his own net like a mug.
No, Trent fooled him. Trent pickpocketed him.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned, because Endo scored his first Liverpool goal, as did Alexis McAllister.
What a time to do it.
Great ways to do it.
Yeah.
What a hit that was.
It was amazing. What
a hit. Such a good goal. Resigned.
Such a good goal.
It was, it's just like, oh yeah, hold your hands up. And he comes across as very likeable as well, the way he runs off and he's smiling. Away. Nobody can begrudge that man that moment.
I think, and maybe I'm alone in this, but I think there's still questions to be answered about this current Liverpool midfield. Partly because they've
keep saying this. And
I think it's right. I look at them and I think, so who started the midfield? Gravenberch, McAllister and Szoboszlai, right? Mm. They're all good players. Like you think, right, very happy to have them.
Yeah. You think, don't let Szoboszlai shoot McAllister. Oh, yeah. We'll yeah, add that
fine.
To him as well.
It's only Ray Parlour. But I do still think that maybe it's because you're setting it against. So you could probably apply that to the forward three as well. Because Salah's there, fine. Mm. Diaz and Nunez, no one's really saying that they're going to, or they are matching the classic Mane and Firmino and Salah front three.
Yeah.
And they're just not as good, and that's fine. You know, they've had to replace them for whatever reason, for different reasons. The midfield's kind of the same. The midfield came to the end of a cycle. It was a brilliant midfield. They won the lot. Mm-hmm. And now what's come along after them isn't quite as good, in my view. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's questions to be answered. I also think they massively... this is probably quite an obvious thing to say, but they massively struggle without Alisson as well. I mean, it's not just the fact that Kelleher made a mistake. It's just that Alisson's presence for me is the best in the league.
Well, yeah, but so therefore they're always going to struggle without him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a fair point. Mm. You know, to sign a goalkeeper even nearly of that quality who's going to sit on the bench. No,
I just
a goalkeeper of that quality shouldn't be starting.
At this moment in time, Arsenal have that, but they're not going to have it for long. That's what we're talking about here. Yeah, it just doesn't work like that.
I mean, Liverpool, they've been impressive this season in the Premier League. There's no two ways about that. I mean, their home form has been devastatingly good against Manchester City. They still got out of there with a point, but Man City did edge that. You know, they were the better side. They were beaten at Spurs this season, Liverpool. I mean, you're going way back now. Great win at Newcastle, drew at Chelsea. They've had some big tests.
And they're beaten fairly at Spurs, weren't they?
Yes, you are right to point that out. So it's not like what we said, say, about Manchester United. I don't know, Manchester United are down in seventh, and are they 7 points behind Liverpool, where you think, is it a bit of a false economy? You know, some of their results against some of the teams, you know, the manner of it, blah, 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 blah. But the fact is, you know, when Liverpool need that quality to dig them out, they do it. And you think, okay, well, 125 yard or 35 yard or whatever it was. Okay, how many of them are you going to score in the game? Oh, well, you're going to score three. You know, although, well, I know Trent's was probably just inside the box, you know, but yeah. You know, give me a bit of grace there with regards to the
yardage.
And they're
2 points off the top, Liverpool. And you know, I can criticise them midfield all I want, but ultimately the results speak for themselves.
And we've been, and you know, you mentioned them in the Europa League, that it's something that they don't really want, but they don't have to exert themselves much in the Europa League.
No.
Let's be honest. Let's be totally honest.
They might get a tough draw in the semi final. Yeah.
If they fancy it, they'll win that tournament at a bit of a canter, as you say, depending on who drops down from the Champions League, and we will see about that.
We will see about that.
There we are.
Oh, imagine a classic Newcastle Liverpool final. That'd be so good.
I don't think it would be for Newcastle.
Nah, it'd be shit.
No, we'd have a terrible time.
Did you see that former Liverpool man Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scored a lovely one at the weekend in Turkey?
I haven't seen it.
Driving from just inside his own half, rolling back the years.
Turkey's great for that.
He loves a drive, doesn't he?
He does love a drive.
And where better to roll back the years than Turkey?
Exactly.
It's just great.
It is.
And I saw an interview with him where he talked about why he wanted to go and play in Turkey rather than, because he had offers from Saudi Arabia. Mm. And I thought, Turkey's got this amazing tradition for these types of players. And I don't mean this to damn him with faint praise, but I looked at that interview and I saw him and I thought, yeah, you are exactly the kind of player who will do really well in Turkey.
Also, I mean, the defending was horrific.
That's why. He's a Thanksgiving
player. He just wandered through. No one's really attending. Yeah. He just slots it home. It was a lovely goal, but nobody was interested in defending it.
And he just slots it home.
And he just slots it home.
Easier said than done, Peter.
Yeah.
True. Before we go for a break, our latest Ramble mailbag came out on Saturday. Thank you for all those who got involved, of course. We discussed how fans in England perceive supporters of their clubs from overseas, and we've had some great responses. Thank you again. So do listen to the episode and do get in touch and tell us how you support your club from far away. Email us show@footballramble.com and find us on X and Instagram @footballramble.
We've just decided to call it X now, haven't we?
We didn't decide.
No,
that.
But we've adopted it.
Yeah. The Musketeers.
That's how it gets you. You've been musk washed. Smells damn really bad.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hi,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Some interesting commentary there of Dwight McNeil's goal, which was a lovely one.
Yeah, it was a beauty, yeah.
Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Exhausted Sam, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble.
Is he exhausted, Sam, because he's exhausted hearing that fucking commentary?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could well be.
Do you
be.
Remember Rob Hawthorn used to be the bad guy in Hollyoaks?
No.
And at the same, so
the same bloke.
No.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's a better story, isn't it?
All right, you've heard it, yeah.
Who's Jimmy Cargill?
But you know that Rob he died as well.
He died. Yeah.
Well, the actor, yeah. the actor who played Jimmy Corkin in Brookside died, and Paul Dunan posted on the Instagram announcement a massive monologue about how sad to see him dead. But we had a massive argument on the first day of filming on the showreel, and I never spoke to him since.
Because Jimmy Cargill crashed into his car and lied about it.
My car and denied it. So
what a tribute to him as he died.
I heard he was a good bloke.
Anyway, why do people need to hear that?
I don't know. Dunan's a loose cannon on Instagram, though, isn't he?
He is. Dangerous Dunan.
Dangerous Dunan.
Paul. So Rob Hawthorn started his Sky Sports career around the same time. This is quite pleasing that you said this, because around the same time that Rob Hawthorn was the bad guy in Hollyoaks, and everyone said exactly what Vish said there. Is that the same bloke?
The same guy?
No, because he's a fictional character.
I just don't think Rob Hawthorn is that big. Does anybody watch Hollyoaks?
Not anymore, no. Back then it was quite big.
No. It was quite big. Not as big as The Commentator. Has a stadium named after him.
It's named after his family, the Hawthorns. There's a head on each stand.
Yes, before we go back to the Premier League, the draw for the European Championships of 2024 was made. England are in Group C with Slovenia, Denmark, and Alexander Mitrovic's Serbia.
Yeah.
We're doomed.
But if England do crash out on the group stage to end Gareth Southgate's tenure as England manager, you'd like it to be a Mitrovic hat trick, wouldn't you?
It will take a great man to do it.
A shit housing hat trick involving getting away with an elbow into Maguire's head, one penalty in the last minute, him celebrating in front of the England fans, and Southgate walking off crying. That's basically what's going
to
happen.
As I say, it will take a great man to do those things.
Yeah.
What do you think of the draw, Vish?
I just feel bad for the fans of Slovenia, Denmark, and Serbia.
Do you feel bad for the people who had to do the draw in front of a lot of sex noises that UEFA are currently?
No, I think
David Silva.
Welcome, yeah. I thought. Very welcome.
Spices it up, I think. Yeah. David Silva looked like he was having a good time. A little smirk.
Sounded like he was having a good time.
The worst thing about those draws is they are the absolute epitome of the people who run UEFA who love admin, going, how can we make this the most admin-heavy broadcast? It goes on for fucking 5 hours.
No, I think that they have streamlined it a bit. I think it used to be shocking, and now it's just a bit shocking.
They've streamlined it a bit, but all it needs to be is, there's the bowls with the balls in them.
Rod Stewart's
one,
there.
Get two, in. Three, yeah. four. Bang, 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 bang.
The only flourish is Rod Stewart drunkenly going... Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Do you know what Donald Trump did one once?
Did he?
Donald Trump did the FA Cup one with Satan Greavesy once.
That is unbelievable.
He had no idea what was happening.
Much that like happened. Now. Yeah. But now we sharpened up, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So look, UEFA have launched an investigation after the sex noises were broadcast during the draw. But that prankster who did the one with the BBC has claimed it as well.
All right.
Well, Jarvo, I think.
That's whatever so you're a prankster, but you just do sex noises.
To be fair, he's got a high hit rate.
Yeah.
We don't know how many he's done.
Well, he's too high profile.
So bearing in mind that that's probably like quite a high security event. How does he get these fawns in that play sex noises?
That's true.
And where do I get one?
Yeah. It's Scotland will open the tournament against Germany.
Scotland are going out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Put it this way.
I
don't know.
I think
the only thing, Germany.
They can hold Germany to a draw.
Oh, Germany aren't very good at the moment. Are you fucking mad?
To me, this reeks of.
Host nation.
This reeks of World Cup 98.
Big
Scotland.
Time.
This reeks of Luke setting out his tanks and just sort of going, I'm going to make a big deal of this when this match happens.
I've got a strict affinity. I've got a great affinity for Scotland.
No, you don't.
I have. They've got no chance.
He's wearing tartan.
Where he is, actually. World Cup 98, when they play Brazil in the opening game. Great effort, and it's a crappy own goal that wins Brazil the game. I think that's what will
happen. Tommy Boyd. In 90, they played Brazil as well, and they did really fucking well, and they conceded very late on. The goalkeeper spilt it.
Correct.
Rebound. They're playing Germany, and you can say whatever you like, wherever you are in the world, about Germany aren't quite as good as they used to be. They're playing the hosts, Germany, in the opening game. Hungary qualified, smashed their group.
Mm.
And Switzerland are exactly the kind of team to boringly bang a nail in the coffin and send them home. I don't take any pleasure in saying it. I'm just telling you that's my take on
that draw. Okay, so what about Wales then? Yet to qualify. But if Wales do go through, they're in with the Netherlands, Austria and France.
Yeah, see my last point.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll probably be a bit more spectacular, but they'll be going home as well.
Oh, pouring cold water over some of the other British nations there.
Yeah, well, I'll just call it as I see it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, we do like to see the draw. Not actually, we'd like to see how it looks rather than watch
the
thing.
I like to hear the draw.
Yes. always tune in on the radio nowadays. So anyway, it gets you going for the summer though, Vish. I think
big time. Agree.
Massively so, yeah.
Massively so. Come on. Right, back to the Premier League. Burnley 5, Sheffield United 0. It would appear that Paul Heckenbottom is going to be sacked later today.
Hecky thumped.
Yeah.
Hecky thumped.
I do find that funny how... we saw on Twitter, which is currently known as X.
Busy Shaw. Get both names in.
Go fuck yourself.
There we are. People saying that we expect Paul Heckenbottom to be sacked today. I hope Paul's not on Twitter.
I just think it's a real lack of dignity.
I know what you mean.
And I think it's David Ornstein that broke it, who I like, and he's obviously amazing at his job.
And that's why he's...
And that's his job, and that's fine.
Mm. But we're having a go at the system.
But it's in some way, if he woke up this morning, Paul Heckenbottom, at 9 a.m, phone call from the gaffer, come in.
Yeah.
Boss, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to point coming in. Yeah, I'm not coming in. Fine, do it over Zoom.
If he's being told, that's fine.
We lost 5-0 to Burnley in the weekend. I might just have a look at Twitter, see what people say.
I'm just asking you, whatever jobs you guys have and you're listening, what's worse for you?
Yeah.
Waking up and your boss tells you straight, down the Zoom or whatever, or face to face, it's not working, you're fired, or oh, you're going to be fired later today.
Yeah.
Don't know when. Don't know what time, but it's coming.
It's awful.
It's coming.
After that, I would be booking a holiday, yeah. I reckon. I'd be on teletext. I would say that, like, he famously...
I was on teletext.
I'm sorry to take your call. I don't have a mobile phone because it is the 90s. He famously in this match when people were when the Sheffield United fans were singing, you're not fit to wear the shirt.
Oh, right.
He said, I was almost singing along at that point.
Yeah, and he was done for. Oof. Yeah, the comments he made, you're absolutely right.
It's not the losses, though, it's the beatings that can beat the crap out.
He also said some weird stuff. Like last week, or the week before last, he said, we didn't want to play three at the back against Arsenal or something because we didn't want to we didn't want Gary O'Neill to know that's what we might do against Wolves. It's like, what are you fucking talking about? It's not a fucking choose your own adventure book. Just set up the team. It's weird.
It was. But I mean, the comments he made after about, you know, there's a couple of players in there who just know. When you start digging out, it does smack a bit of desperation. And look, we have sympathy with Paul Heckenbottom. With a limited squad, with very limited budget, it is incredibly difficult in the Premier League. And they have had, you know, a couple of good performances. I mean, you know, I know we've cited this result a lot, but the fact is they nearly got a point against Manchester City. You know, there was a bit of fight. There was a bit of a little tiny teensy something there, but it would just prove to be not nearly enough. And you're right, the beatings that they've taken. I mean, when I saw Fulham beat them at Craven Cottage, I just remember thinking, like, how bad Sheffield United were. Easily the worst team I've seen in the flesh so far this season. It really was poor. And you think, like, away to Fulham, who were not scoring that many goals, especially at that point in the season, like, you have to have more about you. They had nothing. I can't stress how much of nothing they had. You know, it was extraordinary. They're bottom of the league now. And getting beat by your fellow strugglers is bad. But I know they had a man sent off, but to be beaten 5-0, that's so damning.
It was also a pointless sending off.
Oh, but how many times have we had this season where you get a booking for something like that and you go, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do what I've just done, but I'll do it even more. And you think, especially with VAR, you're going to get done.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, if you can hear something in the background, like a low beating in the background, that's producer Finn banging his drum for Chris Wilder. He was talking about it this morning, saying that he quite fancies Wilder back in the... Oh, that'd be great.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Lampard.
Literally, I think Frank Lampard.
I think we're all missing the obvious one.
Yeah, Big Neil.
Big Neil.
The
Big
Warlock.
Neil. Get Colin Wanker back
Get
there.
The Warlock.
Come
back.
On.
And his cape and beard. Yeah. And his staff. I think that, you know,
Warlock
Frank Lampard should really dedicate himself to getting as many relegations as possible on his
The relegator.
I reckon this managerial career should just be teams he's got relegated or teams that he's left before they can be relegated.
Yeah.
That's what he should do.
Well, Everton would be an outlier there.
They would be, exactly.
And Chelsea. Yeah.
Defend him all you want.
No, I'm just saying. These are the facts.
We know who your loyalty is.
These are the facts.
We know who your loyalty is.
He got a runners-up FA Cup medal.
Yeah. Did quite well with Derby County. You going to say that one next?
They're another one.
You reckon you can say... So there's a headline here, and we'll put it on X later.
Here we go.
Marcus thinks Frank Lampard's the man to save Sheffield United.
Any other words you want to put in my mouth?
No.
Okay.
Careful. Oh,
sex noises.
But I think that, you know, they clearly are, and you mentioned it earlier, and I think it's right. There's no disgrace in coming up from the Championship and struggling in the Premier League.
No.
Right? It's hard, right? We know that. And, you know, Burnley have found it really hard. They've won 5-0, but that's the first win they've had in absolutely ages. Only their second win of the season. Yeah. They're only 2 points ahead of Burnley, right? Yeah. But the manner in which
they're going down
gone
unless
about
they change the manager.
Yeah, is that they don't simple see what they're doing, and so that's what they decide to do, yeah.
I mean, you know, chances are they probably will get relegated just because of the quality above them and what we've spoken about. But you have to roll the dice.
Yeah.
And whereas with Burnley, Burnley's a different situation because there would be possible merit in, let's see how Kompany gets on in the Premier League. If Kompany still fancies it, which I would have thought he would have done, and if the club still fancy him, by the way, that's perhaps the bigger point, is if it did go back down, right, now go again and then see, because they did that with Dyche.
But it is a different situation. I think if we're going to talk about Burnley briefly...
We have to, because they've
won 5-0.
And they've put us tied to the sword, and that gives them such encouragement as well. Because there's nothing like scoring goals. If they'd have won that game 1-0 or 2-0, still a win's a win's a win. But the fact is that stadium has not seen that many goals. They haven't seen, you know, how many wins have they seen this season? You know, how many even points have they seen getting?
Well, they've scored 6 goals before this game.
Exactly,
but what's interesting about Burnley is that if you compare them to their two fellow promoted teams, they have loads more of the ball. Like Burnley tend to have a good amount of possession.
That's what I mean. Under Company, you see there's, something.
And their pass completion percentage is fucking miles better than those two teams and actually pretty decent. The difference is, I guess, that the reason they're not being successful is because they're just not as good. The players aren't as good. Yeah. But there does seem to be an idea that the way that Company wants to play, whereas I think with Luton and Sheffield United, and you could possibly excuse it with Luton a bit more because they're probably a little bit surprised to be up there. It's almost a bit like, we're not even going to try and sit at the table. We're going to root around underneath the table and get as many scraps as we can and hope that's enough to keep us fed. And that's not going to work. And so you're right to say, Marcus, that Sheffield United need to roll the dice. And I think Luton are basically just seeing the whole season as a bonus. So I mean,
I think that's it. Yeah.
Sorry, Burnley have scored 10 goals in their 13 previous games. But I think what was interesting about this in particular, and maybe it's hard to say because they played an entire half against 10 men, but it felt like they were just like a bit more direct. I feel like we've seen a lot of good football from them, but this felt like a little bit more purposeful. And they were kind of running rings around them by the end, and it was kind of embarrassing. And I think that's also damning of Sheffield United to say that you could probably like go around this table and you could probably, broadly explain how Burnley, Luton Town and Bournemouth try and get their points, basically.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Sheffield United, can you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, with regard, if Heckenbottom does go, do we think the new manager will be appointed before Wednesday, or do you think he'll be in the stands to watch how they get on against Liverpool?
I'm really busy. I could do an interview probably Thursday morning.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, you mentioned Luton and Sheffield United there. Well, they have faced, they are the only two sides that have faced more shots in the Premier League this season than Manchester United. And that's where we go now. Newcastle United 1, Manchester United 0.
Could have been a far more severe scoreline, we could say.
It was one of the most comprehensive 1-0 batterings I've witnessed.
Really?
Yeah. Were it not for Harry Maguire, who played quite well.
Yeah.
There's nothing weird about that, Peter.
There is something weird about that.
I tell you what. Player manager at Sheffield United, Harry Maguire.
In time.
For when they're in about League Two.
Look, if the man in Parliament in Ghana can apologise to Harry Maguire, then I think everybody can.
Did that guy call that the biggest mistake of his life or the biggest regret of his life?
A man of honour. I would call that chap. But Anthony Gordon gets another crucial goal. Anthony Gordon.
What a goal! Wow,
he must be a favourite of yours now.
He's playing his way into my affections. Yeah.
He's a great player. What are you on about?
I just don't like his mannerisms sometimes.
Oh, there's only one little fucking rat-faced scally that can play for Newcastle United. And you want to
me.
Be you. Yeah,
that's
you want
me.
To be you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Gordon is he's having a great season, Anthony Gordon, but he is popping up with big moments.
Mm.
He really is. And I don't think he'll go to the Euros in the summer, but surely in time, he'll get his chance.
What about that Trippier one, though, eh?
Yeah, well... Oh. Yeah.
Delicious.
Trippier is just...
I'm still doing Gordon, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Trippier is a phenomenal footballer, as we know. But Manchester United ended up having to travel to Newcastle by coach as their flight was cancelled due to bad weather. So the scene was already sort of set,
I mean, it's not great for their carbon footprint to be travelling by plane anyway, is it? Mm. Well, they should be travelling by coach.
I mean, by the time you get on a flight,
it could be a glider, to be fair.
And presumably you're landing at quite a busy airport. I mean, not as busy.
They'd have to go through all the stuff that you have to... That you have to go to fucking land.
No, but it's still like if we only have a certain amount of runways at Newcastle.
It might have been a glider. It might have been a glider. Imagine them all sitting there hunched around in their own individual
you
gliders.
You need about 50 gliders
being set up into the air. I'd love to see you leading the gliders.
Really,
little. Mouthpiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, lads.
Harry Maguire in the back.
Yeah. Giving you a Werther's.
Well, if you're worried about the carbon footprint, they've got to do something, haven't they?
I think that's absolutely spot on.
Right, lads, we're cycling on the morning of the game.
Straight in the fucking Pennines.
I just don't think it's
Maguire.
I pressed the wrong button. I just think it's
smash.
A great
no, just doing spins. Oh, no, you've got to lean forward.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they did travel by coach, much to
I'm happy with
your preference, Luke.
Two and a half hours.
I know, exactly. Luxury coach as well.
It's not Barcelona to Milan, is it?
No. Yeah, but yeah, also it's not National Express. It's not. No. The toilet isn't getting.
No, they had to get the megabus.
I'm a big fan of the megabus from Glasgow. Remember when we did that show in Glasgow?
Yeah, I remember you having a tantrum.
Why did I have a tantrum?
Because you didn't get a bed on the sleeper. You had a chair, so you decided to go megabus.
That was the train. I went the megabus because they give you a hammock. Yeah. A hammock on the Glasgow to London.
Such a knob. No, this Pete would have a tantrum.
He did have a tantrum.
I didn't have a tantrum.
I just booked a train that was just didn't work for me.
Do you want to hear the story? I'll tell the story.
He had a tantrum because you booked the seat next to him.
We had an engagement the next morning. We're up in Glasgow on a Sunday night, and they booked us a sleeper train back.
Right.
And we asked for a bed, and they didn't give us a bed.
Not a sleeper train then.
You're in a different cabin. You got given a seat.
Yeah.
So you stormed off and went and got a megabus hammock.
I mean, storming off or putting my hand in my own pocket and buying a megabus ticket.
Worked out well for me because I got two seats.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. They got your free muffin. I got a free muffin from the megabus.
So what I'm saying,
I had a delicious time.
What I'm saying is, if Peter had to travel from Manchester to Newcastle for this game,
right,
and the flight was cancelled,
he'd be eating muffins.
He'd probably have a tantrum.
Okay, right.
Getting his own glider.
I just hired a bus.
Yeah, a whole bus to yourself.
Keep this going because we might run out of time. Anyway, that's Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0.
Vish, have you ever had someone filibuster for you before?
It's brilliant.
Is it fair to say, Vish, that Erik ten Hag did not learn his lessons from last time? His pressing lessons, which Newcastle...
His pressons.
His what? Pressons. Kevin Pressman's.
The pressing thing's funny, and I'm probably going to jump ahead here because there was a lot of talk about Marcus Rashford and his lack of tracking back and stuff like that, and his lack of effort. Generally, and it's been a problem for a while. But you go to Newcastle, you play Newcastle at home, especially this iteration of Newcastle, and they're a team who just seem like they're running downhill at all times, non-stop, against a team in Manchester United who look like they're pushing sand with their hands uphill.
Similes and metaphors. Yeah. But beautiful.
The difference being, not everyone is bothered about the sand falling back downhill.
Yes.
On Manchester United side.
We like the sand going down the hill as the neutral.
Yeah, well, it gives you a bit of friction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the whole thing about pressing, really, is that it's a great indicator of a team spirit and just,
communication,
willing.
Effectiveness.
No, just
general
simple,
health.
A simple thing, willing.
Exuberance. Yes.
And also, like, you see the effect it has on all players. If you see someone like Song Heung-min, for example, bustier gut, man, a guy who's all about end product, headlines. Essentially, someone who, not legitimately, but it could be argued that he doesn't need to do it. Let's save him for the
mean
stuff.
Yeah.
When you see him do it, you're like, right, no one, he's not too posh to push. He's willing to do the dirty stuff.
He's leading the charge.
Don't really get that with Manchester United. And I think Rashford he was the focus of a lot of the discussion over the weekend because he's been there for ages, because he's a senior player, because he's been through these various iterations of managers and seems broadly unbothered by it. Now, we don't know what's happening in his personal life and stuff like that, so I'm going to stop short of criticising him as a person, but certainly as a footballer. Aside from last season, he has been someone that I've regarded as, with a sadness, really, that just go and, have your career elsewhere. And then there are other players like Martial, who's, like Rashford, sitting on a healthy payback hit. No one really putting in the effort. And it's not something that I would expressly say is Ten Hag's problem, but it becomes your problem after a while, doesn't it? Because you're not changing it. But this game played out exactly as I thought it would. I thought just Newcastle are a great lesson to those Manchester United players of what can be done. Like, I know Pete,
especially off the back of a big game against PSG, limited squad, and yet they managed to
Pull
that out.
They've got a solid 11 at the moment, haven't they? Really?
Yeah, I remember you making this point a while ago, off the back of all the Saudi money coming in. That, like, it's one thing throwing money at players, but you buy players, they come in, and they have to kind of fit the system and fit the vibe of the place. And they've actually lifted the vibe of the place, and those players are, those players who we might have deemed surplus to requirements, like, say, a Lascelles or,
someone like Longstaff.
Joel Linton.
Even though
Longstaff.
He's a good...
You lift the floor, don't you? A good manager lifts the floor.
Totally, yeah. And we don't mean any disrespect to those players, in particular Longstaff, who's obviously been really, really good. But
naturally has been a big surprise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Maybe I shouldn't say long stuff.
Those players were fighting for a firmer footing in the bottom half of the table.
Yes,
they? And now they're playing Champions League football and putting in a good account.
Exactly.
These are players who would be nervous about the new regime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not the reason we're all nervous about the regime, but because they might lose their place.
Yeah.
And they've doubled down. They've shown that. They've shown that they can belong there, and that's credit to them, but also credit to Eddie Howe, who's not tried to make hasn't made it an us versus them. Here's the new broom. But just before the Newcastle thing in any depth, on the Man United side, what I found was really interesting that you guys haven't mentioned is I thought the team selection was really odd. I thought that, you know, he's got Højlund there, he doesn't play, right? Højlund doesn't start the game, even though he's the guy who's, you know, supposed to be this, you know, great hope of forward players, and, you know, they did really well to get him. They paid a lot of money. They play Kubi Mainu in midfield again. It's just no kind of environment for a young player to find his way. Like next to McTominay in a really struggling midfield.
Up against a really intense team as well.
You've got Anthony on the bench who, fair enough, he's been absolutely fucking shit. But he costs loads of money and is basically Ten Hag's guy. And if the rumours are to be believed, he's essentially the reason he set fire to Jadon Sancho's career because he wants to play Anthony instead and Anthony's his man. You've got Amrabat who come in obviously on loan, but only because it was a late deal and he's going to be a lot of money. I think are they obliged to sign him, Vish?
No, I don't think they are.
But they wanted him for a lot of money anyway.
He was their guy.
He was their guy and he didn't start. They didn't play Varane or Lindelof. Is that because they've been in poor form, presumably?
Well, Varane seems uninterested in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just an absolute shit show.
It is a shit show.
That a flat cap cannot sort out.
No,
on its own.
The only thing I might say is that had they eaten something which made them maybe sap their energy, because Manchester United are under investigation by Trafford Council after several people alleged they became unwell after being served raw chicken during an event hosted at Old Trafford. Is that Patrice Evra? Up to his old tricks.
I was about to say, Evra back as an ambassador.
Yeah, he's walking around kissing this chicken and he's like,
no, you don't have to cook it. Honestly, you don't have to.
Have a little nibble on that. Go on. Give it a little love bite.
Right on Donny van der Beek.
What is, like, Old Trafford is just... It's just like a clown school at the moment, isn't it? The roof's falling in, the people they book, you remember that story that long ago, the chicken's raw. What is it?
It's raw.
Yeah, it's fucking raw.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Whereas Anthony Gordon is beautiful, rustic.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Mm, exactly.
Wow.
he can pop up on the left and he can pop up on the right. but against Manchester United, he got the winning goal, of course. He'll get a chance to play against Sunderland as well because they've been drawn together in the FA Cup third round.
I don't think there's a more fitting sort of match for him.
Surely,
than Sunderland.
Peter, the Newcastle are going well. They're having a lovely time Champions League football. I think the only thing missing for them at the moment is, but I wish we could play Sunderland.
I think it's a thing that might derail the season because I think a lot of like proper dyed-in-the-wool kind of like Newcastle City based fans do get a bit nervous about Sunderland matches.
What about an Amiobi? Not an Amiobi winner.
The Amiobis are off the table.
Where's he come from?
Yeah.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Will you try and get tickets for that, Peter?
I don't know. Depends.
You should.
Depends on.
I think it might. Is it in Sunderland? Is it?
It is at Sunderland. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So he won't try.
Good place to watch football.
I'll tell you what Peter will do. He'll not bother getting a ticket.
Yeah. And then at the last minute try and get it.
Two or three days before.
You get a motorcycle taxi up there. Or a glider. You get Harry Maguire's glider up there.
Sit in a sleeper train.
And he'll be away. Because obviously the FA Cup third round draw has been done because we had the FA Cup second round this weekend. And the big story was National League Eastleigh beating League One Reading 2-1 with a 94th minute winner.
Yeah, and the big story there was that one of the stewards kept accidentally getting his arse out behind the goal.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I just like thinking his trousers pulled up high enough and someone online picked up on it.
It's fine, I'm not on the telly. I'm never on the telly, oh dear.
Yeah, we don't like Eastleigh generally though because they're essentially based in Southampton.
Oh.
So we can't support them and want them to do well, I'm afraid.
I think Pete Vish and I can.
You can if you want, yeah, go ahead.
I hope they win the whole damn competition.
And I'm not going to be funny, I know it's two divisions difference, right? Reading are appalling.
They are. Well, their fans were once again throwing tennis balls and fake money onto the pitch in protest against their ownership.
And rightly so. It's the latest in a long line of league clubs that are having these financial issues.
Terrible.
And I've slated Reading in the past. Boring club. No real history, but they have my support at this point.
There we are. Unlike Eastleigh.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'll never support Eastleigh. Never.
You want them to go out of business, don't you?
Oh, that's naughty.
Is it? It would be very naughty. I'm surprised you said it. I thought it was a bit of a shame. The dream is over for Horsham, though.
Yeah.
There will be no hanging of FA Cup winners' medals or even runners-up medals around their necks.
Mm. Who saw that coming?
They lost 3-0 away at Chris Sutton United. as they're not known.
Can that be money now?
Although, presumably, Tim Vine will be happy.
Why is that?
He's a Sutton fan.
Big Sutton United fan, is he?
Yeah.
Is he the one who does the puns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I said that, I thought, yeah, no, it isn't Jeremy. That's his brother.
I think.
Are they brothers?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't have no idea.
Yeah, and they created this little social media thing.
It's defunct now. Pete was big on it. Yeah. That's why Pete's still here. The only reason that Pete's still here, slamming it of us, is because he was going to be a Vine megastar, and they got rid of the fucking platform.
Unbelievable.
He was too young for MySpace, too old for TikTok and Snapchat.
And Vine was too sharp for everything else.
But just right for teletext.
Too short for Tinder. And that's what annoys me. People use teletext as the fucking go-to. The BBC version was actually called CFAX.
It was.
No one remembers that.
You're Oracle absolutely right.
On Channel 4. Oracle. Channel 4.
And it was the pre-runner to the internet.
It was.
We
used to have a special...
less racism.
We used to have a special betting shop version for the betting shop as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Betting shop teletext.
I don't think there was any on CFAX.
No, there's probably no racism on CFAX.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I never feel older than I do than when I'm in the screen. Just getting all those references that I've buried in a part of my mind.
Come on, we've got to finish the show and then pop off a Rovimto.
Let's play some Bamboozle.
So you're talking.
Fulham at home to Rotherham United as well.
Take
that all day long.
Although I get flashbacks to the time Oldham beat Fulham at Craven Cottage.
On pitch 3-2.
Fulham 1, Rotherham not 0, William Pounting 83rd minute.
I will bite both your hands off for that. But thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter Donaldson.
Donny van der Beek has completed one pass this season. One pass.
Great fact.
That is,
you should have done that in the Man United section.
Didn't have time.
No.
What, people needed to move it along.
Thank you, Vitusha.
Is this any other
one
business?
One pass.
Any other business?
The way you said that is like he worked that out himself.
No.
He delivered that.
You know when people jump into like a live broadcast and shout like conspiracy theory?
It's my sex noise.
That's Pete's Epstein didn't kill himself.
Why have you said it?
Unbelievable. Thank you, Vitusha Hansaraja.
Cheers.
Apologies, everybody.
Emil Kraft too.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was. But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs. Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.